The text is taken from Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 19. Jeremiah 15 and verse 19. Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. It is a good occasion, when we're alone like this, just to take up some words there, if thou take forth the precious from the vial. Now, young Christians have their problems, and they're many, to walk as Christians. But one thing they never face is what older Christians face, which is a more mature and higher demand made on them by God. Now, God is here speaking to older Christians. What is he speaking to older Christians about? Well, remember, Jeremiah was from Anathoth, and it was there that it was Solomon banished Abiathar, the high priest. It was because of the sins of Eli he ended up there, but also for joining in a rebellion against David. And probably there were other Levite families in the town there, but possibly he was from the family of Abiathar. We don't know. Jeremiah was believed by the Jews to be from that family. Now, Jeremiah here is commanded that he's got to return. And that means go back to the religion of his forefathers and go back to their good deeds. He has somewhere fallen. Now, Jeremiah was still quite a young man. He had started his course as a prophet in his teens, probably, certainly not more than 20, because it says out a child. And this young man was very sensitive. When God intends to deal with a nation over its sins, he often chooses a very sensitive person to do so. The reason is, it isn't a place for people who are too cocksure of themselves to speak about hell and all that it entails. So God uses people often who are less sure of themselves and less mature. Now this young man was therefore in a very difficult position. God told him that he would make his forehead a brazen wall against all the attacks on him, and they came. They basically mocked him, but they did much more. They didn't just mock Jeremiah. The men of Anathoth, his own town, raised a plot against him to kill him. Others did things like laugh at his words for all they could. Others said we wouldn't hear him. Then, because he spoke plainly for God, they beat him and put him in the stocks. And God said to the man, you are speaking to a people who will never hear you, and they're going to a very bad punishment. There's a punishment inevitably ahead of these people. And whatever you say to them, and it's quite rightly said, they will never heed you. That meant this sensitive young man, who had to hide from them, and who later they put in various prisons, had a terrible job. To look like a traitor, they accused him of being a traitor quite freely. And what he had to do was convince those people that God was speaking to them. An impossible task. The result was he became very depressed. And although he was a brave man, a depression took hold of him. Now, what I would say is this. depression is one thing, complaining is another. And here, God is after Jeremiah for complaining. Now, sometimes I wish, when I hear Christians talk, that they could have a sort of sound mirror to hear themselves complain. Everything is a complaint. Nothing is a thanksgiving. All is wrong, nothing right. And Jeremiah got like that. He got like that very badly. Now, I want you to think about it. You see, there is a feeling today, especially in Pentecostal circles, that whatsoever wells up from the depths of the heart must be from the Holy Spirit, and therefore is to be accepted as from the Holy Spirit. But our hearts are a deep and narrow ditch, and they're not pure. And therefore everything that wells up from them is not fit to put before God. So here you've got the real grouser, Jeremiah, grousing to God. Now if you look back a little earlier in this chapter, verse 10, woe is me. It says, wailei, wailei, the Arabs say, wailei, wailei. It's the cry of Arab people when things have gone wrong. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention in the whole earth. We don't know if his mother was there or whether she died by that stage, but we do know that, like us, we speak to those we've loved very much in the past. And Jeremiah was complaining against God. He said, this is terrible. He said, I've not done anything to the people, and I've been born to be a man of strife and contention. Everybody quarrels with me. Now, I believe that is so among evangelical people, that many feel they must be some unpleasant person because nobody ever speaks well of them and nobody follows them. But those two things don't follow. They're not the same thing. Jeremiah has started a complaint against God. And this is what he goes on with his complaint, he says. He says, I've never lent for interest, the most fruitful source of quarrels, and I've never asked interest off anyone. I've never borrowed. Now, that is the bottom of quarrelling. We used to say in Morocco that if you lent somebody something, you could guarantee you'd made an enemy for life and lost them, because they never come back and pay you again, and they didn't want to see you again. So he said, I've never done that. And yet, look what he says. I mean, it's very clearly. He said, the Lord said, it should be, verily it should be well with thy remnant. Now we don't know if he meant with the remnant of Israel, but that wouldn't be what God had said. It must mean with him as a remnant. God said, it'll be well with you. Said Jeremiah to God, it's not well with me, I'm in a terrible mess. I've had trouble galore all the way and no success. And he says in one place that he said to himself he'd speak no more. He'd had enough of speaking for God. He'd just shut his mouth and leave it alone. And therefore, Jeremiah complains. Now, what I'm getting at is this, that Christian people have a great sin in complaining. It is not a sin to feel down. It is a sin to start complaint. You remember what the psalmist says. He said, if I should speak thus, I should offend against the generation of thy children. He means this discourages other people. In the army when I was in, there was a law, and it said that if you spoke discouragingly to others in battle or at the front, then you could be punished severely for it. And that really needs saying to Christian people. Older Christian people sometimes give younger ones the impression that all is a heavy drag and that God has let them down and that they should not be treated like this by God. And that's what Jeremiah is saying, and it's a very severe sin. It's something God takes seriously. Now look what else he says against God, because he's very clear about it in all he says. He says, shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? And probably what he's meaning is this, that these people are so hard that I cannot break them. Or he may be meaning the Babylonians are coming from the north with their steel and bronze and we cannot stand up to them. But what he's meaning is a complaint against God for all this. And the whole of that is just one long complaint. Look at verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. So the man is feeling that God has let him down very badly, and he's mouthing it off to other people. Now, God has allowed that in his word for one reason, that we are not to complain. We are not to open our mouth whatever happens and complain. We are not to say, oh, but I wish it had been different. We are not to say, but I would that it had happened another way round. We are not to say, well, I don't agree with what that person did, and complain. It's one thing to stand up for God against wrong, and Jeremiah does it, and God does not rebuke him for that. But it's quite another thing to complain every day about all the things that are going wrong, so as to discourage the other people around us. And that is why God speaks to Jeremiah. And God goes in for a very slight threat in this. Now before that, Jeremiah says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And what he says, that they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah says, I love your word, Lord, and I love reading it, and I love absorbing it, and I love telling it to other people. But God didn't have a quarrel with him on that subject. God said, you are not to go on complaining. Now that's very hard for people, because complaining is an ingrained habit which doesn't move quickly. But he's a terrible complainer, Jeremiah, and God has had quite enough of the matter. It's ruining his ministry and it's ruining the hearts of those around him. Now you see, Jeremiah goes on. He says, you've done all this to me, verse 17. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers. And that usually means the laughers. It usually means, although I'm a young man, I didn't join in the parties of the others who just mock God, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. So he says, I've separated my life from these things, and what have I got back again? None of the things I wanted, neither a ministry nor success nor anything else. And Lord, you've done this to me. Now Jeremiah is perfectly plain there that he blames God for the whole thing. What he's saying is, I absorbed your word and you did it to me. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? And wilt thou altogether be unto me a liar and as waters that fail? Now that's saying too much to God. What he's saying is, you're being to me a failure. You are like the torrents that run in Israel in the winter and that dry up just when they're most needed in the heat of summer. And he says, Lord, you've let me down. Now, we can't use words like that. We may feel them in our hearts. Let us take them to the Lord and repent of them. But we cannot go round blaming God over all these things without doing great damage and dishonor to the name of the Lord and making other people wish they weren't Christians and glad to be quit of us. We need to stop complaining. That is the sin of mature Christians, complaining all the time. And God says it, and God means it. Now, what does God do? Well, God says to him, with a veiled threat, "If, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me." So God says, if you turn about, and that means if you repent. Now, God doesn't waste words. God is saying to you and me today, if you will repent of complaining about God, and repent of doing this in front of other people, then you can stand before me. Now, that is where the servant heard his master's will. That is where he stood waiting to hear what he would be told to do. So what he is saying here is, if you will stop complaining, then I will put you back as my servant. You will enter into my counsels. You will hear words at my mouth, which you can speak to others and must speak to them. But if you go on with this complaining, this is ended. I'm ending you as a prophet. He did it to Elijah. He went and got Elisha, didn't he? It can be done. God can end one's innings as working for him just as easily as that. If we go on complaining, God regards complaining as a very great sin. And then he says, if thou take forth the precious from the vile. That is usually taken as if you choose your words and stop words like you've been using and use better words. But it also means this. He says, Jeremiah, you must discern. And the Lord Jesus Christ told us to discern. And the New Testament tells us to discern. And we are to discern between the righteous and the wicked. We're to discern between good and bad. We're to discern between him who serves God and him who serves him not. We are to discern what is a word of God in someone's mouth and what is not a word from God. We are to discern what is the scripture and what is not the scripture. We are a discerning people. And God says, you've got to start discerning instead of complaining. In other words, Jeremiah, did not I tell you at the beginning that you would never succeed in this ministry? Did not I say I would strengthen you and hold you up against them and that they would fight against you, but they would not prevail? Well, says God, go back and do it. And that is always the way. You see, our churches have been very badly let down by older Christians who just back out, who don't stick it out. And what God is saying to Jeremiah is, as you enter the ranks of mature and older believers, you must go back and do this. You are to be eyes and ears to the church, to let them hear what is right and what is wrong, to teach them, to show them by your example and by everything else. You're to take forth the precious from the vile. Now, the precious means precious things of this world. And God says you're to take out the precious things you know and show them to people, and you're to put a guard before the door of your mouth whenever the vile things, the complaining, wants to come out, especially complaining against God, especially feeling God has let you down and is a liar and hasn't done right by you. You've sought his word and you've kept yourself apart from the others. And what's God done to you? Nothing at all. Nothing to help you. That is the attitude that must go. You see, what God is saying is complaining comes from the deep heart of a man. It's because it's this dissatisfaction with God that there is a dissatisfaction with his doings and with the way he's treating us and with the fellow Christians around us and with life in general. So that we can quickly become a complaining, heavy, difficult people who should not be doing what we're doing. Now God promises a little more there. Thou shalt be as my mouth. Now God says that he is speaking to people through us. It's no use saying, well, the Bible alone speaks to people. God has chosen to speak to people through us. And the only way it can be done is cheerfulness, kindliness, lack of complaining, and above all, being content. Being content with such things as we have. Being content with such ways as God treats us, being content with pain and sorrow and suffering and even death. Contentment is what God wants from us. And if we will be contented, then God will again deal with us and make us as his mouth. And there's one last thing. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou to them. That can mean either these horrible fits. Let the fits come back, but don't you go back to them. But more likely it means the people. Let the people alone. Let them come to you now. Don't go chasing them all the time. And I have seen in my own life that where God is in a thing, he brings the people. He adds daily to the church. And where God is dissatisfied with the way we behave, God does not bring in the people. Now, it's not a matter of blaming men. Ultimately, we have to say, God hath done this thing, and we accept it. We're not to return to them, but they will return to you. What he's saying is, Jeremiah, your prophecies have gone deeper with this people than you think. And when they're in trouble, they'll come to you. But hold your way. Don't go begging them to return. Don't go round them saying, oh, well, I can't get on without you. But you let them do the walking to you. And then they'll listen to you. You see, I think that's so with a lot of churches. They've given up trying to obey this command and have gone to the people and chased after the people, and the result has been a very poor result. See, just one result of it is this, that say students go to a big student church in London, and then when they go back and find themselves in a little church somewhere in the country with their parents and anything but exciting, that the services are different. Everything's different, and they just give up church. And in fact, I hear it's quite true that great numbers of them who go to these student churches never go to church again once they've gone home, or very rarely. They'll drop off very quickly. And you see, there's more to it than that. It's not just that by chasing after the people, the churches get people in, but they don't keep them. Another thing I heard is that of Christians who go to church when they're young, the vast majority, and I don't just mean in their childhood, when they're students especially, the vast majority by their 40s have left church and don't go there anymore. That's partly to do with they go there to get a wife or a husband, but it's also partly to do with the fact that the churches have chased after them, and when they get among churches that aren't doing their best to pant along after them with every form of blandishment, they give up. It's spoiltness. It's spoiling people. There is a vast need not to chase after them, but to let them hunger for God's word and come for it. And they know where it is, and they'll find it when they want it. I very recently had a letter from a man in prison thanking us inordinately for the sermons in the Gospel magazine, and it absolutely overjoyed and pleading to get more. Now, he was a Christian who'd done a great deal of wrong, and I don't know it all, but he says himself it was greatly dishonouring to God and his church, and he thought he could get off with his secret sins. You see, he's returned to us. I know we should visit, I know we should look after people like that, but it's not quite the same as chasing after them. So those are the things that Jeremiah did by complaining, got himself into a fix. And this is the way out of the complaining spirit that takes hold of us so easily. Amen.